Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bureau Briefing. Before we get to the show, there are a couple of companies we really want to thank. Our sponsors. 10,000 Feet. You know, if you haven't checked them out lately, you need to check them out. They make this simple but powerful software, and it just helps you make confident decisions about what's going on with your projects and your teams. Also, MailChimp. MailChimp has been an amazing supporter of the Bureau community since day one, and they are everywhere we go, and they just love digital agencies. And you need to realize they're not just an email tool, and they're not just a marketing automation tool. They're a second brain for your business. They can give you insights, and they can help you automate your e-com store. It's just amazing. So make sure and check out MailChimp as well. And now, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. Today on the show, we have got one of my favorite people, somebody that I worked with for quite a long time who actually pushed me to be a much better person, both at work and at home. And it is Rachel Gertz. How are you, Rachel?
I'm doing good. And I tell you, that's a pretty great intro, Carl.
It's true. And so you're the co-founder at Louder Than 10. You were, it was pretty much a web shop, and then you've transitioned it to training digital PMs. And I just want to say, as part of that intro, I think that's brilliant because you really are a trainer. That was what I experienced when we were working together, because you were always looking for ways to make things better. So for everybody who's listening, just go ahead and talk a little bit about Louder Than 10 and like how you got your start there.
So a lot of this comes back to you. You're going to love this. When Travis and I started out, so Travis, you know him as my partner, but also just us like getting our kind of feet wet in the freelancing world, we had big ideas about what we wanted for design systems and content systems. And when we started working with Engine back in the day, gosh, when was that now? Like over 5 years ago, right?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So we kind of came into this as like learning about ourselves and processes, and I probably was a pain in your ass because I was always asking questions and challenging you. I'm sure you were like, oh my God.
One day you'll have employees and you'll see what it's like, Rachel Gertz.
And we do. And so anyways, yeah, so I have to say, so a lot of that, those humble beginnings, I think I kind of bring back to the relationship that you and I had, actually learning a lot about what it was to put processes together and to try to work on things like alignment and, kind of support. I remember you having this really beautiful vision for Engine, and I completely and fully believed in that, and it was the idea that we can run autonomous teams and that, process is a huge part of that. But I remember you saying, don't put people through a meat grinder with your process. I remember that. And I remember too, I think, was it you that signed me up to speak my first time at the Digital PM Summit?
I think so.
Yeah, that might have been you. Yep. So I have to give some kudos there because, I think in a big way, you might have accidentally shaped that path for us without us realizing it, because I did fall in love with project management and setting up processes. And so Trav and I were looking at that, as we grew and as Engine grew, and then just the natural ways that we kind of moved in our, you started worked with Bureau and started all this beautiful stuff. And then we were looking at what does this, how does this need to impact people? What do we want for people? And it became not just about project management, but kind of creating resilient leaders that often don't have a big say in how companies run. They don't often get that chance to shape processes.
Right. That's amazing because so back to what you were saying about the idea of autonomy and all of those things. I still love that. And I really feel you're going to probably appreciate this. And I give you credit for this all the time. But when we were trying to figure out how to run Engine, and I was explaining to you what I wanted. And then you said jellyfish, right? And I was like, oh my goodness, Rachel, seriously, get some sleep. But no, but you were so right. And you named it the jellyfish model. I think the Bureau is kind of what I was trying to get to with companies working together. I think the Bureau actually became the kind of my canvas for where I can try to play around with the jellyfish model now, but without taking clients through hell, right? Yeah,
totally.
But wait, who's in charge? Nobody. Isn't that beautiful? So I love what you're saying though about digital PMs and training them and how they may not have had a say, right? They may not have had a say in what they were doing. What do you find when you're talking to the owner of a shop? I imagine that's how you're coming in when you're doing the training, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely speak with a lot of owners and a lot of operations folks when they first reach out. You know, what's really interesting is a lot of the time they come to us because it's either we need a PM or we have a PM, but we need for them to learn more, you know, better processes or just how to push back. And I think what is interesting is that depending on how experienced their own PM processes and how developed those processes are, we hit a reckoning point where they start to see that when a project management is empowered to be able to, you know, work alongside business development, to work with a team and have a say in estimating and scoping, they actually kind of become that secondary business developer. And I think that that changes things. That makes them like, oh, wait, this is actually a really good idea. I should really be investing more into my project managers.
Yeah. So what are you finding is kind of the, I mean, maybe it's different all over, but what are the common things that you're finding when you go in to start talking to somebody who's kind of just been doing it on their own?
Well, usually they're adding a PM a little too late, like just when the cracks are already forming, and we're kind of hoping that they're thinking ahead, you know, every 5 to 7, up to 10 people that you have on your team, you're looking to add a project manager who can be accountable for that work. So that's one of the things. And then I'd say the other thing is probably just them not realizing the sheer power of, you know, having those PMs involved in the conversations early on. I think that they sort of, I mean, we've had a really traditional idea of what project management was, right? And I think Brett would agree with this too. Brett Harned, like he would say, you know, we have to look at them and their operational role in outside of the triangle, right? Of time, budget, and scope. Like they do more than that, and we can actually empower them to do that. So, I think those are some of the biggest conversations that I have to have. And once we get alignment on that, then it's like a beautiful kind of process that unfolds over the next year.
So are most of the shops that you're talking to, do they have that ratio of like 1 to 10?
Yeah. So we're working with most shops, I would say, are usually between 7 and 30. They usually will either be looking for their very first PM on one side, or they might actually have like 2 or 3 or 4 PMs, but they're just looking at trying to strengthen. A lot of it comes back to people management, conflict resolution, and some of the softer skills. But in addition to that, there's always those hard skills. They're just, you can't beat them once you've got those under your belt.
So when you go in to do the training, is it a customized based on where they are and what they need?
Yeah, so the training, the way it's set up, it's completely remote. So I don't have to go into any offices. So all of the students, we'd have like a class of students, so up to 6, and each of those students would be working full-time in their organizations. And then we do classes each week. So the trainer will do a 3-hour remote session, and they learn end-to-end what it is to have a project come in. So right from either sales or intake when, you know, if it's a product shop, all the way through till launch and like future phases. And it's paired with a lab session. So there'll be active curriculum learning and development, and then also a lab session where they get to practice on a simulation project with their teammates, and also applying those concepts to their real organization so they can build templates and refine practices and stuff.
And so they go through, and how many trainers do you have right now?
So we added our first trainer in January, and we're going to be looking to add another trainer very soon, I think in the fall here. So we're still early in that process, but it's going great. We're really happy with it.
Well, digital project management is getting such a, I want to say a boost in that even in some of the Silicon Valley shops that we've talked with, some of the big product shops, digital project management might not have been a thing for a while because they were so engineering driven, but now they're starting to realize like this is the front lines. The reason we're getting beat up is we don't have anybody on the front lines trying to help us understand how things get done.
Yeah.
So are you seeing some of that when you're bringing in, if it's a shop that didn't have a digital project manager and you're helping train that first one, what's the response from the rest of the company?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So the first part of your question, we're definitely seeing like we have development shops approach us. We have agencies that do design and sometimes more on the traditional side of advertising, but mostly marketing. And then recently, it has been a lot more on the product side. They're approaching us, I think, because it is that realization, like how you summarized it, like. We can't just run projects. We have to look at the environment around those projects, and we have to look at the air quality, as Nancy Lyons would call it, right? And
manage
that part. So I think what was the second part of your question?
Well, I was wondering how the rest of the company reacts. Right. Like, what is their? I almost want to say emotional response, right? When suddenly there's somebody who's there to kind of help.
Yeah. So there's probably a mixed reaction. We talk about something called the Kubler-Ross grief curve. And it's the same idea that when change happens in an organization, you're going to react in a similar way where you would if you lost somebody. Initially, you're kind of in denial. There's some anger, frustration. You're bargaining a lot. But then you get into this exploratory sort of more open phase where you can try new things and practice. So we go into that very honestly when we talk with shops. And we'll say things like in order to get alignment and buy-in, what we suggest is that you sit down with this apprentice and each week, you know, have that apprentice openly teach something back to the team, share all the resources, share all the curriculum with the entire team so that we can make sure that everyone's buttoned up. Because it's hard to learn what it is to have someone there as a manager of projects and hopefully to support that, you know, the people on the team. It takes practice to learn what that feels like.
Now I want to shift a little bit. Over the past few years, one thing that I've seen a lot of and had a lot of conversations around at digital shops specifically is that role of account manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing more and more people hire account managers. And, you know, an account manager and a digital project manager, just in terms of their mental makeup, I think they're very different.
And
the account manager is incented very differently, right? To maximize an account, and they're relationship based. Whereas a DPM may have a great relationship with a client, but they're definitely project based, right? So have you come against that yet? Have you found account managers in any of these shops or?
Most of them tend to actually not have account managers, interestingly. But some I know that anyone who has reached out, if they have account managers, they're actually interested in learning more of the people management, client management skills. So we might be more focusing on like, you know how folks are now calling it like the producer role, right? It's that strategic, right? Like whatever you call it, what it is you are a manager of your team and you're a manager of your projects, but you also support relationships with your clients. So really that's all we're talking about. A potato, potato, I guess.
Or tater in the South. So when you get in your training, do you have a specific project management philosophy? I mean, are you going purely agile? Is it an adapted type of system for the company or how does that work?
Yeah, it's really agnostic. We try to focus on just building a process and adapting a fit that works for you, your team, and your projects. So we'll teach agile, we'll teach waterfall, we'll teach hybrid, but it's like, what works for you and how do you know when you should use which model or adapt them?
Gotcha. And how many, I mean, I'm just fascinated with this because you've launched, it almost feels like a new industry, right? There was project management and PMI and all that, but for digital PMs, there was very little. And that's why when Brett launched the Digital PM Summit, it became this big thing really quick. Mm-hmm. It was because it was this connection point. So now, as far as I know, and I haven't been doing a lot of research, so I could be wrong, it feels like you've kind of got the first education system for digital PMs that's coming out. Have you seen others out there doing this?
So interestingly, I think so the timing is definitely right. And I was so, so glad, you know, with like Brett building this entire framework and community around DPMs. And so I'm actually starting to see more folks crop up. So there's like operations. I see like a little bit on the operations side and like how, you know, right. PM. And then there's another program that's, I think it's all kind of video based and it's like lessons on digital project management that just went live actually in our hometown here in Vancouver. So I think that's actually reassuring, right? That's like, that shows that this thing is, it's got some heels. It's definitely dancing. So it's really cool.
I mean, it used to be you could find no event that used the word camp. And I remember we used to get emails, hey, so-and-so is calling their thing a camp. Hey, there's a camp over there. Hey, did you hear about the new camp? And you're just like going, it's just a word. It's totally fine. Everybody can have a camp. But what you realized was people are understanding these smaller groups connecting is important. And so it is, just like you said, it's kind of reassuring that, oh, this is accepted. Like people like it. So the same thing with training and education on digital PMs. So congratulations on that. I mean, it feels like you really did get started right at the right time. And so what role does Travis play?
Oh, he doesn't do anything. No, I'm just kidding. No, Travis.
He's right there, isn't he? Is he right there?
Glaring at me right now. Awesome. No, Travis wears the operations hat. He's making like some fantastic dashboards for like our financials. He helps with a lot of the admin stuff. And we're also like, the fun part is he's building some tools right now that we haven't released yet. We're just using them with apprentices, but we're doing things like setting, like we've got rate cards based on your target revenue. And then like an estimating tool built into that that allows you to measure project length and duration based on risk assessment. So an algorithm that monitors that. So we're fun. He's doing stuff. He's doing a few things.
Oh, that's, I'm excited to see that. And when it's ready, if you want to share it with the community, let me know.
Oh, for sure.
We'll definitely do that. So now you're going to be joining us at the Digital PM Summit, right? This September in Memphis. Going to be pretty exciting.
I'm so
excited. You're going to get back on the stage. Now, I remember you told me after the first DPM summit, I don't know if I'm ever going to do that again. And I was like, you were really good. Like, you were so prepared. I remember I looked at Hoy and I went, I got to go work on my talk. Because it was like, you seriously, you, it was a performance and it was great. So there you go. We're just going to build each other up. If people want to hang up now, get off the podcast, that's fine. But now you're going to come back. You're going to take the stage again. It's going to be a little bit bigger. Right? There's more people out there now. Don't get nervous. You're going to be fine. What are you going to share with everybody?
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm dying over here. I just wanted to tell you that very first time I probably threw up a little. Like I was like that nervous.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 5 years does a lot, right? Like you learn a lot. So this year I'm really excited. I actually just shared my talk description with Brett. So what I'm going to be talking about is alignment, because I think this could be one of those secret keys where instead of just looking at it like, okay, we need to build a product together. We have our stakeholders. Let's do this thing. We have to start looking at shaping the organizations that we're working with and looking at our power in that dynamic to get the work done. Resiliency, right? Like just really focusing on what does that mean for the future in this role?
Oh, that's going to be great. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the lineup that Brett's put together. He has outdone himself this year. It is looking phenomenal. Have you taken a look?
Yeah, he did great. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it's going to be a truly great one. So Rachel, how can people find you and find Louder Than 10 and get more information on the digital PM training?
Yeah, so you can find us on the web, louderthan10.com. We have a Twitter account under the same name. And we are actually starting our next class in May. So there's a few more weeks and a couple slots left. And then the next will be September. So we'd love to just talk to you about, you know, what are some of the common, you know, challenges or barriers when you are setting up PM process, and what are some of those things that you think more folks need to understand about the PM role in your organization? That would be something I think more people need to know about.
Well, I'll tell you that when people are asking me about it, we're definitely sending people over, and I just can't wait to see how this grows and just watch you and Travis succeed. It's just fun for me, having worked with you for all those years and now seeing you swing your own bat there. It's awesome.
You know, it's like, I'm really, really grateful. Like people are going to totally want to leave now, but I'm really grateful, that Carl, that we got to work together, because I think that it honestly, it shaped a lot of who we've become. And I think that that's a huge testament to the vision that you had, and also the fact that, you know, you gave us a chance and we worked together and did like something that I think we really both believe in. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'll see you in Memphis. And for everybody who didn't get tired of the Love Fest, thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week. All the best.
Bye.